World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. I really feel like we're in the middle of a vortex here. I was going to do a show today on Bahu and Adahu. Do y'all like me to do that? And I was saying before we got rolling here this morning, I was talking in the pre-show. We have a pre-show here. In other words, people, if you want to be part, by the way, let me go through that again. If you want to be part of the what we call the queue, if you want to get in here and talk with us, you have to log on at Coach Dave Live. It's the only place that you're able to do that, folks. I mean, some of you are watching on Facebook, Rumble. I mean, a lot of places, Patriot Party News. This is, show's being watched on a lot of different places. But if you want to interact with us, in other words, you would like to raise your hand and say you're 2 cents worth, and everybody's 2 cents worth is welcome here, you have to log on at Coach Dave Live. And you go to Coach Dave Live, and it says join the queue. Now, Spencer, do they have to have downloaded Google Meet? Help me out on that one, Spence.
They shouldn't have to. I know some computers have required it, but usually you could just type in a name if you don't have an account.
Okay, you shouldn't have to, folks. But it may say something to you. Google Meet is the platform that we use. Google Meet, go to Meet and Google Meet. It's a free download, and you shouldn't have to. But if you have to, then you just go to Google Meet and you download it, and then you can get in here. And you can ask questions and throw tomatoes and do whatever it is that you want to do. Because I got 3 emails in the last 3 days saying this. And sometimes it's a God wink. Sometimes we have to, you know, sometimes God doesn't yell at you. Sometimes he just calls through and gives you a wink, right? And I had 3 people in the last 3 days, I think, maybe 4 days, I don't know, it doesn't matter. I said, Coach, I just want you to know that your show is my church. And you know, it's kind of humbling because I don't really want it to be, but I get it. My spiritual nourishment comes from the show. And not just from what you teach. I mean, this is the email. I'm kind of paraphrasing the email. Not just from what you send me, but the variety of people in the queue and the questions they raise. And I find myself all day pondering what it was that was said on the show in the morning. See, to me, that's magical. That's magical. And that really blesses me, because the last thing I want is for people to come here every morning. Some of you here every daggone morning. It's unbelievable. And leave here believing just what I told you. I don't ever want that, because I'm telling you, I don't know. I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I ain't got this whole thing figured out. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't cling to any real theology. If I had to sit down and write out my theology in front of you, I don't know if I could do it. I would tell you what I believe, and then I would tell you, you know, I kind of lean this way, but I don't know. I don't know if you've picked up on this or not. I don't know in this rapture thing. Just telling you, for me, you believe what you want to believe. You're allowed to come here and you're allowed to believe whatever you want to believe. But let's not me and you get in a fight over something that we really don't know, because I really believe this, that I can find a theology in the Bible if I look hard enough. Would somebody say amen? Would somebody say amen? I can pick and choose in the scriptures and make my own theology. I can do that. Or I can pull out one scripture and I can build a whole theology around that one scripture. Anybody trucking with me? You know what I'm talking about? I don't want this show to ever be, you gotta agree with me. In fact, you can come here every day and you can believe that modern Israel is where God's working. And you can come here and not believe that. And that's fine. We're still friends because none of us really know. Now, you could drag me to the Bible and you could beat me over the head with your Bible verses and prove it to me. You could do that. But see, folks, you can't do that. Why can't you do that? Because we've got, what do we say, 44,000 different denominations of people who believe different things. And I don't know any show, maybe there are others. I don't know any show anywhere, and I hate to call it a show, any podcast anywhere where you're allowed to come and say whatever you want, and we still love you. It's still okay. We don't agree with you. Pray, Lord, maybe wake, open his eyes, Lord. Or, Lord, open my eyes, Lord. I don't see it that way. Lord, just guide me to the truth. I think it is so daggone healthy. I just think it's so healthy. And I often, man, I ask myself, how did me of all people, me of, you know what really kicked it off yesterday for me? It was yesterday. It was Ash Wednesday. And you began to see, I don't know if some of you did. Relax, I'm not making fun of anybody. People with the ashes on their head. You know what I'm talking about? Beginning of Lent, 40 days before the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. 40 days, Lent. Where'd that come from? Where'd that idea come from, Lent, and putting ashes on your forehead? I used to do all that. But I don't know about you. I try to consecrate every day to the Lord. I'm not just going to put ashes on my forehead today. I put ashes on my forehead figuratively every day. When I walk out of here, I put on the righteousness of Christ every day when I live. And I don't have anything wrong with religious tradition. But you put lint on you put ashes on your forehead on Ash Wednesday and never talk about Jesus with the people that you come in contact the rest of the year? Are you kidding me? So these are the things that... the try men's soul, right? I understand the ashes to ashes and dust to dust. I understand that. I understand the tradition of Lent. I understand all of that stuff. I understand. But ain't none of it required for salvation. You can put ashes on your head, on your belly button, and on both of your big toes. It ain't gonna do anything. It's an outward expression of an inward belief, right? So, I was reading something yesterday. Somebody sent it to me. Said, man, now's the time. Boy, sacrifice during these 40 days of Lent. And I just asked the question, why? Why? Who said? Who said? You mean I'm not a good Christian if I don't put ashes on my forehead? And all my Catholic brothers and sisters, oh, they'll get mad at me. They'll think I'm making fun of them. Oh, dare I mention Mary? And Come on, man. There's only one mediator, only one, Bible says, between God and man, that's Christ Jesus, the only mediator. Didn't marry, sorry. Pray to her all you want to. I still love you. We're not enemies. That's your belief. That's cool. But you can come here and we can disagree. You know what really breaks my heart, Betty? How many people who leave here never to be heard from again. And why did they leave here? Because I said something that they didn't agree with. Or maybe, God forbid, Craig said something, or Randy said, or Steve Deck said something. Well, I'm not going to post a bunch of anti-Semites. What the hell's wrong? Where did you even, you would, folks, you could read the Bible from the beginning to the end. You'd never find the word anti-Semite. You would never even come up with that idea in your mind. Yeah, somebody told you that. I'm sorry, I'm venting here a little bit. I'll shut up. I'll move on. Hey, this is an open forum. You can disagree with me, and we're still friends. All right? Huh? We're still friends. You can believe the rapture's coming tomorrow. I don't believe that. We can still be friends. And I won't tomorrow, when the rapture doesn't come tomorrow, I'm not going to say, see, I told you so. That's all pride. That's pride. Stupid stuff. We just want to know the truth. We just want to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the way we think. That's what I want to do. I don't know about the rest of you. The rules and regulations and following all this and following this tradition. I mean, it's all good. Tradition is what keeps families together. I love it. We do Thanksgiving tradition on Thursday. We do that in my family. We celebrate Christmas. We do. I'm sorry. It's a family tradition. We do that. We do that. And you can tell me all you want to that it's pagan. We shouldn't. Okay, I get it. I get it. I'm not worshiping a tree. It's one of the most holy times that families come together. Now, will you find anywhere in the Bible dancing around a tree, Christmas tree? No. But there are traditions. Not all traditions are good. Some are. Ash Wednesday happens to be one of those, in my humble opinion. I'll make some ashes here if you want to. I'll go give me some crayon. Make. You understand? Thank God that Gary Pierce is home. Gary had Michelle's going to get mad at me because I get this. By the way, I got to clarify this because remember I was talking about going to the funeral the other day and the guy coming up and called me Bishop. Michelle about beat me over the head. I deserved it. He called me Rabbi. He didn't call me Bishop. That was what was so staggering about it. This guy who I wouldn't even think would know anything sat down beside me and called me Rabbi, not Bishop. So Michelle, I cleared that one up, right? And thanks for all the prayers for Gary. Gary is home. He had basically had to have a whole hip redone. He got it all done yesterday, and so he's home. He thanks everybody for all the prayers and everything. Got a long recovery ahead of me. As you know, his wife has some physical issues she deals with as well. So let's just continue to lift up Gary and Debbie. It's a tough situation there. And Mark Mattingly, I haven't spoken to Mark in a couple of days. He'd sure appreciate a call. Yeah, are you noticed we really are kind of a church here? Have you picked up on that? We really kind of are. We really do care about one another. We really do have relationships that are developed here, and to God be the glory on that. So keep praying for Gary and Debbie and Mark Mattingly. Hey, man, some of you guys, give him a call. Just check in with him. And there are others. All right? Cool. Mel, quickly.
Hey, good morning, everybody. So, Spencer, if you'd go to the Liberty Action Network page under events, the events that we've been talking about, Coach is going to be speaking at all three of these. So March 27th to the 30th, The Strangeland, that's the one that's organized by Tom Dunn, Spiritual Warfare. The second one is the Stay Awake America Tour. Sounds like it's kind of a continuation of the Reawaken tours, but I think it's a great idea. So there'll be a ton of speakers there.
I'm going to talk about that here in a second. Keep going.
And that one's in Delaware, Ohio. And then also Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Conference. That's going to be a great one if you're up in that area in Wisconsin, or if you want to support that event. I understand that, you know, we're just trying to support, you know, the work that's being done up there. So I just wanted to let you know that I'm gathering all this information on the Liberty Action Network site. If you're ever looking for information, I try to put it up there as soon as I can just to help people to direct them to where to go. So
I don't even have this one. I'm going to be in Minnesota. I'm going to be speaking in Minnesota. I got to get that one up on there. What's the name of that town? Winona, Minnesota. Can you believe that they in Minnesota, they want me to come out there. I don't know, Spencer, if I can throw this to you real quick. I'll see if I can. Maybe you can throw this. See, not everybody's on Facebook. So sometimes I send people stuff on Facebook and say, Coach, I don't have Facebook. I get it now. Hang on, this coming to you, Spence, right now. This is, for those of you, there are, believe it or not, I heard from three people who might come to an event in Minnesota. We got people listening in Minnesota. That's pretty cool, isn't it? That's pretty cool. That's why it's important that we connect. We all connect, right? Because all these great events that are going on after us hiding for 3 years, whatever, from COVID, people actually getting involved again. It's all good. It's all good. And I said I was going to mention it. I'm sending Jared. Okay, here it is. Those of you in Minnesota, join us for a free father-son game feed. Winona, Minnesota, 4 p.m. on a couple of Saturdays from now, next Saturday, I guess that is, flying out there. God bless them. Thanks for inviting us. And anybody in that area, we'd love for you to be able to come. I don't know how we put this in the chat, but or Spencer, or whatever, we need to get this on our agenda as well. So, again, shame on me for not having that thing up to date. But we're going to be in that area too. And then let me go back, Spence, if I could. I sent you, it says Amy event, because Amy sent me, she's on the Stay Awake tour. This is, folks, this big one. This is a lot of people that are coming there. Some big name folks, Stay Awake America Tour. We could run down through the names of everybody that's going to be there, but it's good. But here's the key thing. They have Spencer, did I send that to you? A special right now. If you can get a VIP special for this event. I didn't send that to you, dude. Let me see what I got here. I thought I did. I hate computers. VIP. Okay. Got it, Spencer? No? Oh, it's just okay. Well, here's what. Hang on, let me get that text up here, then so I can read to people. I'm sorry. I know that you came in to hear me screaming, holler, and all that, but I got to get this stuff done here. Okay, so Amy Young says, "Okay, you ready for this? Right now, 10 people to join for VIP seats. VIP seats, and text." I got to do that. I'll get this cleaned up a little bit. Coach Dave for VIP tickets. All right. Become a VIP at this event. I'll clean this up a little bit tomorrow. Put that on your, hey folks, look, this is where we run into other like-minded people. And it's a really, really, it's a really great event. Okay. I'm cool. Trying to cover a lot of ground here. Mel, thanks for all you do. And Mel, maybe I can connect you with Amy that we can get that stuff up on there yesterday. And I felt bad yesterday because I forgot, left some others out. And I don't mean to do that. Yada, yada, yada. Okay, cool. Anything from the good of the group here? My goodness, this is a church where you're allowed to talk. I've gone on for 16 minutes. Anybody have anything they want to add?
Well, Coach, I just think the annual and the
thank June you, Chad.
We can talk about
thank
that.
You, Chad. The annual. When is that, Chad? Got to get that up there too, Mel. That's my fault. It's the 13th. June 13th, 14th, 15th. We'd love for you to come, folks. The annual, we do one a year. That's why they call it the annual. And we get everybody there. We're still working on the format, the speakers and all that. But it would be worth your time for a little vacation to come and spend some time at Sky High. You can bring a camper. You can sleep in a tent. You can get a hotel. I mean, there's just a lot of different things that you can do. But I believe that you'd be really, really blessed by being there. So we're still working on what the format's going to be, yada, yada, yada. But June 13, 14, 15. How'd I do, Michelle? Did I do okay? I don't get beat in the head when I get there. But June 13, 14, 15. Thanks, Chad. Here's what I want to talk about today. Anybody else for good of the group? I want to dive in. I appreciate the fact that you all come here every day. And you know, I don't have a seminary degree. I'm a pretty educated guy, but most of what I've learned about Christianity, good and bad, probably over the last 15 years, through my own research. Remember, they don't want us to do our own research. But somebody would say something in the show. This happens a lot. And then I do some research on it the next day. I said, oh, that was an interesting point. And I do some research on it. Because I'm not stuck in a theological box. I'm just not. I'm a spiritual mutt. I'm working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. So I want you to know that. But I was thinking about this today. You know what, though? How come the Bible says, be angry and sin not? Spencer, how good are you? Can you find that? Be angry and sin not. And somewhere along the line, we have in the modern American church made that, don't get angry. Don't get angry. Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So let me ask a question. I'm going to dive into this a little bit. Did God get angry? If anger is a sin, then Jesus isn't sinless. So what? Say that again. If anger is a sin, which pretty much is what they're teaching us, in the church. Oh, coach, you're so full of anger. No, I'm not full of anger. I'm passionate about what makes me angry. Why does it make me angry? I don't know about you. I'm tired of them teaching lies to our children. That should make us angry. Be angry and sin not. So to be angry could be angry. If you ignore the anger, you sin. Did God give us anger? Be angry and sin not. You mean to tell me it's possible that all around me every day there are things that should make me angry? See, it's not the emotion of anger. It's the response to the anger that is the sin. So if anger is a sin, pull up number one here. Play number one for me. If anger is a sin, don't be angry. Go ahead.
Jerusalem, the faithful city, she that was full of justice, has become a harlot.
Stop him!
Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning?
Hang on a minute. There's some destruction of personal property going on here, isn't it? Huh? He's overstepped his bounds, has he not? Go ahead.
What are your multitude of sacrifices to me, says the Lord? Bring forth no more vain offerings.
Huh? How can you escape such damnation? He goes on to say. Jesus' sin there? Huh? They walk away from him and say, boy, that guy can't control his anger. Huh? He can't control his anger. Are there some things we ought to be, pardon my friends, pissed off about? How come you and I aren't angry about the sexual mutilation of children? Why doesn't that enrage us? Does me. So stay away from that, coach. He's angry. Damn right I am. Why aren't you angry? Who told you that being angry was a sin? Did you know, pull up number three. I didn't know if you knew this or not. I hope I'm not going to run down. I want to hear from you today. Number three, did you guys know this? Did you know that Bible mentions anger 500 times? Did you know that the Bible, stay right up here at the top. There it is, right there. Did you know that God's anger is mentioned 375 times? Is God sinning? Is he the only one allowed to be angry? So in other words, he would give me the emotion of anger, love, joy, peace. Anger, angers of the devil. Are you kidding me? Anybody out there ever been motivated to do good by anger? See, it's not the anger. It's how you apply it. What do you do with the anger? The sin is not being angry. The sin is the reaction to the anger. Wow, the Bible distinguishes between righteous anger and sinful anger. Exemplified by Jesus cleansing the temple, which is rooted in love for God and justice. I remember a few years ago, we were doing some work down at the State House for a protest. I hate to use that word, protesting at the State House. And some guy comes walking up, it's me and Michelle, and some guy comes up and he's saying something just nasty over and over and over and over in our ear. And I'm walking there and I'm hearing it and my wife's hearing it and I want to cut his throat. And I keep walking and he keeps following. He keeps barking and I keep listening. And finally I stopped and I turned around to him. I said, buddy, I want you to know something. The Holy Spirit just saved your life. Because anger should propel you to do something. The anger is unrighteous behavior as a result of the anger. The Bible offers guidance on managing anger. Acknowledge it, address it promptly, seek understanding and reconciliation, bring it to God in prayer, and choose forgiveness. I say this over, and I'm going to open it up here in a second, I promise. I say this over and over and over. Those people who aren't here, I'm not trying to build a cult. I don't care if they're here. I really don't. I mean, I don't care. I don't get up in the morning and cry that so-and-so's not in the queue anymore. I don't do that. Question, I come up with the same question. Who are you fellowshipping with? Who are you locked in? Are you locked into somebody? Are you just watching a no-name video? Say, oh, I really like his podcast. Well, that's good. Does he know who you are? I didn't know who you are. See, in here, we know each other. We know each other. And sometimes I get really pissed off. Probably shouldn't say that word. And I'll call somebody I know in here, and they'll calm me down. Say, now, Coach, maybe you shouldn't do that. Or talk to my wife, right? So we're dealing this morning. My question is anger. Anger. Is anger of the Lord? I think it is. I think it is. How many times the Bible mentioned it? A bunch of times. Okay. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Boom. That's the opening. Somebody come on in. Be angry and sin not. They're murdering babies and you're looking the other way. You weren't motivated by that anger. How many of you guys right now would be angry if you saw some grown man smack a little 10-year-old in the mouth? How many of you would have I would just love him and forgive him. No, you'd go intervene, wouldn't you? I'm talking to the church now. And Planned Parenthood's murdering little babies, and the church looks the other way. They go in the church and do praise and worship. Am I my brother's keeper? It's legal. Oh, yeah, when did murder become legal? How's that work? Well, murder becomes legal because, did you see what the Supreme Court did? Supreme Court came down on the side of the deep state regarding some of the things that Doge was doing. Anybody know why that is? Because the Supreme Court is under control of forces that we don't know. Amy Coney Barrett, probably scared for her life. Probably threats came down. 5-4 again. Now, again, ask yourself this. Is murder ever okay? Never okay. How can that be a 5-4 vote? How could murder ever be a 5-4 vote? How could it be? Well, I know how it could be. You say it's not murder. Killing a baby isn't a murder. So then if it's not murder, well, I can vote 5-4 on that one, I guess. If it's murder, with me, folks. And so because anger should motivate us to do something, because the church teaches us that anger is bad. Oh, Coach, you're so angry. Say, hold your ears. Damn right I am. Pissed off. Are you? Why aren't you? And so we're not getting any pushback from the church because we've been taught to, oh, just love everybody, forgive everybody. Jesus didn't, I don't think. Come on in, Jeff Klein.
Coach, after watching that little video there of Jesus, some of the people today would call him a domestic terrorist or insurrectist.
Well, he'd be in jail. Well, actually, Jeff, it cost him his life, did it not?
Some of the people in the church even would say it.
Yeah. Yeah. It cost him his life, friend. You understand that, don't you, folks? When he went into that temple and he started dealing with their money, which is what, hey, come on. When he went into the temple and he started dealing with the flea market in the church. See, they wouldn't have minded if he'd dealt with a flea market out on the street corner. They wouldn't mind about that. But he went into the church and said that you things have made this all about money. When he went in there, boy, they'd had enough of it then, hadn't they? Oh, yeah. You can do that out there, dude. Don't you come in here and tell us what we're doing is wrong. Oh, no, we'll go to another church. That's what we'll do. Laura Ann, come in.
Don't you think Jesus was a little bit ticked off when they wouldn't let the little children come to him? What do you think when he said, you know, it's better that you put a milestone around your neck than, you know?
Yep.
I mean, what do you think that was? Was that like the Mary Had a Little Lamb song? Like they teach the kids how to pray, Mary Had a Little Lamb. Mm-hmm. And then the kids grow up to pray, Mary Had a Little Lamb, and there's no intensity or power behind those prayers. And then if they actually acknowledged that abortion was murder, and we could just start there, besides carving these kids up, right? Every single person in line with that would have to be charged as an accessory to premeditated murder, including the doctors, the nurses, the hospitals, the counselors, the schools, right? Because they're all telling them, hey, you can go here and get an abortion. You can go to Planned Parenthood. The line of it, the jails would be so overflowing with murder charges and accessories and felony charges. It's absolutely mind blowing.
So what we're seeing is a Laura Ann. So we're seeing the Supreme Court. Come on now. We're seeing the Supreme Court do the exact same thing that the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. Protect the institution. Yeah, come on. Tell me you get this, right? Huh?
No, it's 100%. Who do you think was cheering the loudest that they hired when Jesus was tried? It wasn't the public. It was the church. It was the church guard, because there was 2,000 of them present on that day. So they that's why they did it in the morning. That's why the Sadducees and the Pharisees did it, because the church went against the people, because the church has to protect their own. There's Illuminati Christians, and this is exactly what you're seeing. Shepherds do not smell like the sheep.
They don't smell like the sheep. Hey, folks, how come we don't see a bunch of BLMers in federal prison for burning down Seattle and Milwaukee and what's that place in Minnesota? How come we don't see, hey, they still right now got painted on the streets, Black Lives Matter in D.C. How come we don't see them? Because they're of their father, the devil, and the works of their father they will do. So they want to make sure that they do everything they can to crush God's people, including tell you you're not allowed to. By the way, you're not allowed to come to the Constitution, come to Washington, D.C., and petition your government for redress of grievances. If you're angry, you're not allowed to be angry and come and do it. What? Come on. Pastor Tim, come on in here. Good word, well, Lord. Coach,
you're talking to one angry man right here.
Yes, sir. That's
one
good.
Angry man. So, you know something? When I sued my denomination, so I had so many people say, Tim, you're not supposed to sue the church.
Don't do that, no, that's right, brother. Love your brother. You're not supposed to.
I sued the church and went after those guys because I was an angry man at the time. And you know what?
Tim, you also, hang on, Tim. You also sued them because they weren't the church. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, if you're going to call yourself a Christian and you're lying and you're cheating and you're doing that kind of stuff, something's going to happen if you have the backbone. So, you know what? I tell people, sue, because you know what the Bible says? It says, don't sue your brother. But if you read the verse after that, it says, isn't there anybody spiritual among you to work it out?
Mm.
So I've realized now in the church, there's not very many spiritual people that have the backbone to help people work things out.
So, Tim.
Yeah.
Here's the way it should work. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Here's what you ought to do.
Anybody who wants to, I'm starting in Romans tonight. Anybody wants to learn how not to sin, how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? I'm doing Romans, so I'll put my email
in the
chat. When is
that, Tim? Doing that? Starting it in the evenings?
Yeah, 7 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Pacific.
How about Eastern?
It'll be 8 o'clock Eastern.
All right, so just seeing if you can do your math, because a lot of her Eastern. Hey, Tim, where will they find it?
It's at ttubra@gmail.com.
Okay, you putting it in the chat, Tim?
I'll put it in the chat for everybody.
Make sure you send me a link.
Okay, you got it.
Hey, by the way, are you with me, folks? Hang on. I'm going to teach you something here today. So let's say that I said something that made, pick anybody. I'll see a name in here. I made Daryl Monkus mad at me. I made Daryl. Or Daryl said something. Let's go the other way. Daryl said something in the show that made me mad. Hey, Daryl. Hey, Daryl. Coach Dan, how you doing? Oh, good. Good. Hey, listen, man. Just, you know, you said something on the show today that really kind of caught my ear. And brother, I don't want to take it. I don't want to take it the wrong way. What exactly was it that you meant when you said that, Daryl? How many of you do that? Or wait a minute, let's do this one. Hey, Jerry. Hey, Coach. How you doing, Jerry? Huh? Hey, Jerry. Did you hear what Coach said today? Did you hear what he said about me today, Coach? Yes or no? Yes or no? Don't let your son go down on your wrath. Call the guy. Take it to him. Say, you know, I didn't mean that. That isn't what I meant. In fact, I don't even think that's what I said. Dude, I got nothing. Do we do that, friends? No, we drop out of the queue. Or come on now, telling you the truth. You got about six other people you call, and so they'll sit in misery with you and complain about it. You don't have to say amen. I know what goes on. Instead of not letting the sun go down on your wrath, you stoke the flames. You stoke it. Stoke it. Throw this in. Oh, yeah, did you hear what Coach said? Did you? You know, he really likes Chad. I don't know if you ever know this. Hell, Chad can get away with whatever he wants to. Nobody ever says anything. But, boy, I tried to come in there, and I tried to say something. Come on, we're big boys and girls here, right?
Boom.
Right? When the whole thing could have been handled if he did just call and say, Coach, what do you mean by that? And I'd say, oh, dude, I'm sorry you took that wrong. That wasn't what I meant. And instead, you'd rather upset six other people before you even bother to call me. And then you don't even call me. Somebody else calls me and says, hey, you know Randy's mad at you? What? Oh, yeah, Randy's pissed off at you from something you said 4 days ago. Are you kidding me? Come on, say it, big boys and girls, yes or no? Shouldn't be like that, brothers and sisters. Shouldn't be like that, but it is, isn't it? Why? Because I don't have the self-respect. I don't have the respect to give Paul Gosselin the chance to defend himself before I believe something somebody else told me. Vinny, that'd be a boom right there. That'd be boom. A boom. Come on in, Dr. Paul.
Hey, Coach. I'll just post it right here. You know, in psychiatry, psychology, whatever the heck it is, there's underlying emotions to anger. So when you see in a football, you get this kid and he's aggressive and you know his background. Typically, you know, it's sadness or vulnerability. Or so when you see anger, it's really not an emotion. There's an underlying emotion to it usually. I suspect Jesus was justifiably sad when they were using his place of worship for such a thing.
So, Paul, what the point you're making is we tend to emote, don't we? We emote.
I certainly do.
we puke our feelings on others. We just got to be careful with it, man. I understand. Sometimes I'm so frustrated. I get so frustrated. I'll get an email. Don't take this wrong. I'm like, Jesus, how could they think that's what I said? I do that a lot. That isn't what I said. See, a lot of times there's a big difference between what I said and what you heard, or what your friend said and what you heard, right? And so it says, don't be angry and sin not. I mean, go clean it up, man. Don't. How many of you? Oh, boy. Hang on. Be careful, Coach. How many of you broke fellowship with a family member? Don't talk to your family member. What the heck's that all about? How did that ever get there? Well, it seems to me somebody let the sun go down upon their wrath. That's what I'd say happened. Now, look, a lot of this stuff can. I'm not a psychologist or the son of one. All you can do is apologize. All you can do is apologize, and keep apologizing. So that's all you can do. But you don't have to grovel. I'm sorry. Hey, Paul, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? How hard is that? And some of the greatest grudges I know, dare I say it, are held by Christians. Vinny, come on in.
Well, that's exactly right, Coach. Well, you know what it is. It's I'm responding. I posted this so Jack could see this. A comment that someone posted on Facebook to you yesterday. And I responded simply, are you watching Coach with the sound off and listening to Ken Copeland? Because you got the completely wrong idea about things. Okay? So yep. just now you guys called me down because I was about to yell about this whole thing. But it's easy for people to gossip, right? Because for the most part, gossiping is safe, right? Because everyone agrees with it, because you're pretty much you're going to appeal it to the audience who you want, right?
It helps you emote, Vinny. It helps you get rid of the frustrations, right? I get it. Yeah,
but the thing is, it's safe because for the most part it's right. For the most part it's right. But
Vinny,
it would be better used to put this towards the people who deserve it, as opposed to these made up enemies that they keep manufacturing. That's and they right. keep distracting us with.
And so sometimes, I don't know about you guys, sometimes I'll call Chad. Say, Chad, man, what the hell? What did I miss? What the hell? That's not gossiping. That's confiding. I got a vent. You ever feel that way? I got a vent. But ask yourself this. What's the purpose of your venting? To make you feel better? Or to get at the other person? Because that emotion ain't the same. Jeff Nell.
Yeah, when I'm out there proclaiming, when I'm out there preaching and stuff, why are you angry? No, I'm proclaiming. That's what I'm doing. All right? Well,
because the church has told us you can't be angry. Right?
Right. Yeah, they get really upset. I like to bring up Matthew 18, starting at verse 16. It talks about moreover, your brother or sin against you.
Hang on a second. Matthew 18.
Matthew 18, verse 15.
Hey, Jeff, when's the last time they let you do this in church?
Oh, never.
Okay, absolutely. Matthew 18.
Never.
Beginning with what?
Verse 15. Starting verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him its fault between thee and him alone.
Dude, I want you to know that offended me, man. Maybe it wasn't what you meant, but I was offended by that.
Okay, go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man overtaking you in a fault in which ye are spiritual, restore such one a point of meekness, curing thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
So again, meekness is control, right? You are angry, but don't go with him in anger. Go with him in meekness and control and say, look, brother, here's what I heard. Maybe it wasn't what you meant. Here's what I heard.
But all right, one more verse.
Okay.
James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Brethren, if any of you do error from the truth and one convert him, let him now that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins.
So correction is good.
Right.
Correction is love.
Right. So the church is not expressing that. So people gossip, spread rumors, tell lies. It's amazing how the lukewarm, the corrupted, and to deceive the people in the church. Really,
so Jeff, the sixth commandment, I believe it is, says, thou shall not bear false witness.
Witness, right.
Thou shall not lie. Shall not bear false witness against thy neighbor. In other words, I should never say anything that's not true because it harms the character of my neighbor. And if I call my neighbor and I find out it is true, now we get a different story. All right? Well, that doesn't mean you jump on Coach Dave Live and blab and glab it to everybody else, right? I don't know how we got in on this, but it's good. John Loveland, come on.
Hey, thanks, Coach. Good morning, everybody. Hey, Spencer, can you bring up Ephesians 4:31? I just looked this up, and it's pretty interesting. The word anger here is a different word than in verse 26. It says, Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Mm. So that word anger there is vengeance. So don't allow your anger to provoke you to vengeance. But the word, it's the Strong's 37:13. And then in verse 26, it says, you know, it's 37:10. It's a passive anger, but it's supposed to motivate you and arouse you to action. So when you're angry and you're angry at a situation that you know is unjust, you're supposed to be motivated to do something about it. But the anger that he's talking about in 31 is an anger that's vengeful. So there's it's totally different.
Amen. Not vengeance. By the way, Spencer, real quickly, go to our good friend Webster and pull up wrath. W-R-A-T-H. What is wrath? Violent anger. Violent anger. Wrath of God. The wrath is violent anger. Now, folks, am I supposed to have violent anger? Am I supposed to have wrath against John Loveland or Steve Deck? Or am I? No, I'm not. I'm supposed to be able to go to them as a brother, say, hey, brother, this bothered me. Why did you say that? What did you mean? And gives him a chance to say, yeah, I shouldn't have said it. I was pissed off at the time. Can you forgive me? Sure. Sure, man. Sure, I can. We don't do that, do we? We go make sure that 10 other people know we're pissed off and then don't even call the person we're pissed off at. I don't mean to step on toes. Just telling you all the truth here today. P.S., come on in.
If I were the devil, I wouldn't want you to hear hear God's voice. And then if I were the devil, I'd put a screen in every living room so then I can slander everybody so it'll normalize it. And then if I were the devil, you know, it goes on and on.
Amen. Amen. So here's what, this is one of the best lessons in life I ever learned. We judge ourselves on our intentions. In other words, I might say something in here that makes somebody mad and they leave, change churches, and I didn't even know it offended them. I didn't even know, that wasn't my intention. So we judge ourselves on our intentions. We judge ourselves. No. We judge others on what they say and do. We judge ourselves on our intentions. And those two things have to come together. Dude, that wasn't what I meant. I'm sorry you took it that way. That wasn't what I meant. Then no, I ain't dealing with him. Anymore. I'm not going to listen to that. Oh, they're anti-Semitic on that show. Oh, no, they hate the Jews on and on and on. The stuff that I deal with is like unbelievable. First of all, I wasn't even the one that said it. Daryl, come on in.
Hey, Coach. Great topic. I know there has to be a lot of people out there thinking like I am right now. You know, we sit behind our phones and we read, and we research, and we find so many things to get pissy about. You know, and and you know, but the thing is, it's such a weird world that you're trapped in a job that you hate, that you can't stand, you know, you don't want to go to work, you know, and so you're carrying this little passive anger around with you, you know, yeah. And, you know, my wife's a PK kid, you know, and, it's been hard, you know, like at times, cause you know, I'm trying to learn new things and new ways of doing things. And, that's how I feel sometimes, like she tries to just put my anger out, you know, You know, it's just a weird time that we're all in. And so I thought I'd just kind of speak up because I know there's got to be other people out there that probably, you know, your spouse is probably not as motivated as you are, you know, about some of the things in the world. So,
That's right.
But anyway, that's a whole other topic, but just thought Darryl, I'd bring it
I'll
up.
Tell you, nobody can get under my skin like that pretty little brunette up there. She knows where to dig.
That is true. That is so
she
true.
She knows where to dig. Oh, boy. I want to show this real quick. Then, Randy, I want to bring you in. Pull up number 8. This is This is the greatest mistake that the Democrats ever did. Number eight, Spencer. They showed up the other night at the meeting with these paddles with things on. Look at it. So look, now people are changing the memes all the time. That's the worst thing they could have ever done, right? I love fraud. More taxes. I'm not normal. Amen. Randy, come on in.
Yeah, Coach, everything you do is a reflection of your heart. Amen. You know, some of the things people practice, hang on a minute, you know,
Randy,
I was.
Randy, hang on. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Amen, Coach. Good verse. But, you know, I've been kind of a hothead a lot of my life, Coach. I was too impatient, short-fused. And look, your shortcomings will make a fool of you if you don't deal with it, okay? It will. You will be ashamed. And sometimes that is where God's leading you to make yourself ashamed of yourself. That's godly sorrow. And then you repent. And then now, Coach, now God says, hey, let me fix you. But until you come to that moment, you're just going to cover it up. You can give them all this, but until you get to the moment whenever you say, I'm a mess. I need change. Then find those people. And you're just not planting seeds with them now. Now you're grooming them, and you're changing. God is changing them. That's so. There's two groups for you, Coach. There's those that want to hear, and those that don't. And don't waste your time too much on those that don't. Move on to someone who wants to hear.
Amen, brother. Hey, by the way, you can't make somebody believe. You can't make them believe. Tell them the truth and move on. That's all you can do. Your greatest.
Anger is just one of those problems. So anger is just one, you know. So, but this is good message, Coach. Because look, if we don't have the heart of God, we're going to backbite, we're going to complain and bitch and moan like the world. But you know, I like what Tim Tuber said. You know, if really a lot of people that are doing this, they're not Christians, so. You know, they kind of have a pass. The Christians have no excuse.
Well, Randy, not only that, this is good, isn't it? Isn't this good? Not only that, I've run into people throughout my life who would get angry at the drop of a hat, and they would say, hey, it's just the way that I am. Oh, man, have a temper. I got a temper. Well, okay, dude, are you born again? You are? Well, dude. Get control of that self-control. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so we have to be careful to just blame it on our nature. Right? I've always been this way. Yeah, I know. That's why we're trying to get you to clean it up here a little bit, because you have always been that way. And, you know, those of you who don't really, I'm not trying to defend myself, don't know me. Do you guys have any idea how kind my grandkids think I am? My grandkids, our grandchildren come into our house, and I'm a magnet around me. So I must not be this angry guy that I come across as. And we are so not used to passion that we misread it as anger. And they're not the same. Mary Beth. Mary Beth, did you hear me, sweet?
Let's take Coach. Sorry.
Did you want to speak? I mean, are you sorry?
Yeah,
you
keep going. Keep going.
All right.
Accidental, she said.
Okay, so that's the name of that tune. I kind of blew all the air out today. That's kind of the way I see it. Because maybe I'm doing this a little bit for self. Let me. Okay. I heard that. Holy Spirit.
Great show, Coach.
Hang on. Thank you. Holy Spirit told me three times. I did. And I kept ignoring it. Okay. Look, repentance requires some type of action. And I'm going to encourage you right now. All of you watching right now. Need to pick up the phone and call somebody and tell them you're sorry. All of you, God has given us the spirit of reconciliation. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. Don't call them and say, hey, I forgive you. Because they're immediately on the defensive. On the defensive. Well, how hard would it be? Where'd I put my phone? Huh? Hey, Steve. Just use you, Steve. Don't tell. Hey, Steve. Hey, Coach, man. Hey, how you doing? Hey, listen, dude. Listen, I've been thinking about this, bud. I've been kind of holding a grudge since. I don't know. You may not even remember because it was, you know, probably wasn't even a big deal to you. But man, we were at that meeting and you said something, and it's like you freaking hit me right in the chest with it. And I want you to know, man, I've been pissed about that. So I know that you care about me. I know you love me. I just want you to know, Steve. Man, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry to hold that grudge against you. You're my buddy. Can we be buddies again? And what's Steve gonna do? Nope. Sorry, we ain't gonna be friends. No. God's given us the spirit of reconciliation. There's some. Oh, do I have to say that, Lord? Okay. Some of you, it's a family member. Some of it, it's a family member. And they'll know when you pick up that phone and call them. They'll know whether you mean it or not. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. How hard is that? Hard, isn't it? Chad.
Well, it's one thing I was reminded of when you're talking about anger. The old saying that I grew up with is only one more letter away from danger. So when you get angry, we have to be wary that could lead us there, because in a moment, a split second, there's people that are in prison now because they,
that's right,
something happened in that moment, that flash, that 10 seconds of time, something happened in there, and there was consequences for it. So when it's not what I think what you're saying today, and scripture backs that up, it's all right to become angry, but the type of anger is right. What we're saying.
Anger should motivate you to do something. It should motivate you to do good. Not motivate you to do bad. Right? Anger. If I was really angry that they're murdering little babies, I'd go do something about it, wouldn't I? Wouldn't I? Man, oh, man, oh, man. God, it's deep, huh? This is deep. Vinny.
Hey, just a chance point. Anger can lead to danger, but what if the anger is warning of danger? Okay, thank you.
Right. If the anger is warranted, then you ought to deal with that appropriately as well, friends. I love you. That's why I'm saying this. I don't want this to harm our relationship. But brother, here's where I am on it. And would you apologize? Don't ever ask for an apology. If the Spirit's right, they'll give you one. Neil.
Chad is right. The 10 seconds between anger and violent anger, I find it amazing that scripture says violent anger is wrath. I never knew that before until that was said this morning. So it's very important about letting anger become violent anger.
Amen, brother. Yes. And just put up there, know when to walk away, know when to run. That's right. That's right. Jack, quickly.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, one of the Gospels talks about Christ going in and seeing what he saw and then going away, contemplating and weaving a whip and coming back with intention.
That's right. He didn't just react out of emotion. He went and made a whip. He calmed down so he knew exactly what he was getting ready to do. Wanted to make sure he was of the right spirit. That's why our emotions are so powerful. A lot of times your emotions will get you to react in a way that you're going to regret, right? Find somebody today and tell them you're sorry. Reconciliate. Tomorrow, I'm going to hear some stories of people who made a phone call. See you tomorrow.